Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Good afternoon, welcome to another edition of the Portuguese American Hour here with your daily dose on Multicultural 1600 AM. I am Justice Neves, with me as always, Dinesh Borges. Dinesh, how are you doing?
I am doing great, and you, my friend?
I'm feeling good.
Fantastic, and hopefully healthy, obviously.
Definitely, yes. Definitely
and hopefully all of our listeners are also feeling great and also healthy. Stay healthy, please, as we are going through a little bit of a crisis, an international crisis with the coronavirus. We'll talk a little bit about that in today's edition of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. And as most of our listeners probably have already heard through the magic of social media and other news outlets as well, Fresno State has suspended their in-person classes and also the gatherings of certain events. So the Portuguese language classes at Fresno State, the ones that I teach and the ones that my colleague Professor Inês Lima also teaches, will be, of course, online. The instruction will be delivered online for the students. And our events, the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute events that we talked about here on the last edition of the Portuguese American Hour, those events, of course, have been canceled for this semester. So the events that we had now it was scheduled for April the 2nd, which was a documentary, the teaser of a documentary of about 20 to 25 minutes, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute with MCJ, the Media Communication Journalism Department, that has been postponed to probably until the beginning of next semester, so like late August, if all goes well. Another event is our symposium that we were going to have on April the 25th. That one also has been canceled and postponed. So not canceled completely, but postponed until next semester, probably sometime in September. So those are some of the events, and all of the events that we had scheduled for the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno, have now been delayed. They've been suspended for this semester. All of these events, we are sorry about that. We hope all of you understand. And we will have, of course, these events come up in the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute next semester, God willing, if everything goes okay. But classes have been also suspended as far as in-person classes. The classes will continue online until the end of April at Fresno State, and as has been announced. So we're going to go to our first musical presentation. We have two guests, so a full-packed show today. So from the island of Pico, Sapateia de Cadeia, and when we come back, we'll have our first guest here on the Portuguese American Hour.
Thank you.
We're listening to Sapateia de Cadeia, which is a typical song from the beautiful island of Pico in the archipelago of the Azores. The Azores, where most Portuguese Americans living in the state of California can trace their roots, whether they are those of us like myself who are immigrants, in my case coming over, as I've mentioned here before, at the age of 10 with my parents. But many of our listeners, of course, are immigrants, but many, many are Portuguese Americans of first, second, third, and even fourth generation. Many people was their parents or their grandparents or even their great-grandparents who immigrated from these magical islands in the middle of the Atlantic. Sapateia is a very typical song, part of the Azorean folklore from all of the islands, and this one was the version from the island of Pico, which is its mountain is the tallest mountain in all of Portugal, not just the Azores but also mainland Portugal. And talking about the Azores and talking about connections to the archipelago, connections to the Portuguese world, we are honored to have our first guest. He is on the phone from the Sacramento area, our state capital. His name is Doug Rocha Holmes. And welcome, Doug. Thank you so much for taking time from your schedule to be with us today.
My pleasure.
Let's talk a little bit about genealogy and all of the great work that you have been doing throughout many, many years. First of all, if you don't mind introducing yourself a little bit as far as your Portuguese connection to our listening audience and what led you to genealogy.
Okay, I'll start with the fact that I have a connection to Portugal comes through my father, who was born in Tulare, and he, on his father's side, so my grandfather, he was born in Angra, in Cacada, and he came over in 1914, mm-hmm. so it's over 100 years ago now. And then his wife, my grandmother, she was born in Sacramento, actually, but both her parents were natives, and they married in São Roque do Pico. So that's my Pico connection. So actually, and I actually have a connection through my grandfather born in Tejeda, because his grandfather, one of his two grandfathers, was born in Piedade Pico. So I have a double connection to Pico from there and all his Tejeda roots. So I have a majority of Pico and Tejeda in my ancestry.
Fantastic. And so I know that you've been doing some great work with genealogy. You do an excellent social media page, and you get involved, and you get people to get involved in trying to find their roots. Tell me what sparked you to do this.
Well, I first of all became interested in my own ancestry, so I just started doing this research, including my mother's side, which is not from Portugal; it's from Hungary and from Germany. So I started doing it out just for myself, and then my father was still alive at the time, and I started bringing back information based on what information he was able to gather from people who had met some of these older ancestors of ours, and he had his own memories, notes, and he made notes about stuff, and so I brought back the information that would document these things. The documents were coming from, at that time, from Salt Lake City, the mm-hmm. Mormon Library there. Mm-hmm. And so I brought the stuff back, and I had documents to show him, oh, here's this, and here's this other ancestor. And I had a little bit of doubt at first because, maybe it was a spelling change, or it's not quite the exact date, but, eventually it all proved out to be right, and then I just started going back further and further over the years, and to the point where I'm back pretty much as far as I can go on every ancestral line, and some of that includes the 1500s in Pico, some of it 1500s in Tejeda, however old the documents allow me to go, I've pretty much gone there.
Right.
And so I started doing this on the side while I had a business, and eventually phased into doing it full time after my first son was born. So it's been full time since 1999.
Wow.
And then before that, it was part-time for the first 9 years or so. So roughly 30 years now of doing this.
And doing this full-time, most of the people you work with, do you work mostly with Portuguese or you work obviously with all ethnicities?
Oh, no, absolutely not. When I first started out, I was doing this for other people, but I found that I was so busy with Portuguese only, it's hard to pick up from one place and move over to another place. It's easier to concentrate on one thing, and I just decided that was going to be my Portuguese side, and so it's nothing but Portuguese for the whole time.
Fantastic. Okay, great resource for our community. So, Doug, so doing this as you've been doing, you know, for over 30 years now, part time and full time, has the process with, of course, digitalization and the internet and the new technologies, has the process gotten a little bit easier for people to discover their roots?
Oh, it's just amazing. I remember the time when I was in the first 10 years before there really was even an internet in the 90s. Looking at these microfilms and thinking, oh, it would be impossible for this information to ever become available online, mm-hmm. you know. And then not even 10 years later, it's all online. So it's just amazing how much you can do up to a point. I mean, you don't get, within the last 100 years, you never get that online. It's all considered private still. But anything that's older than 100 years, pretty much, is now online. And throughout Portugal, I mean, even if you have mainland ancestry, it's from like roughly 1910 on back, you've got it all online now.
And so the work that you've been doing, especially since most of our listeners who are of Portuguese background can trace their roots or have their roots back in the Azores, how is the Azores itself doing with getting much of this online?
The Azores have been online for, I'm not sure, maybe 5 years. Hmm. Yeah, so it's roughly 5 years, and like I said, roughly 1910 on back, you can expect those things to be online. There are some exceptions, like in San Miguel, it's only 1905 on back, all except for the Concilio of Ponta Delgada, which is 1911 on back. So it's a little bit variable, but it's even some of those things are starting to change, and it all depends on how quickly the archive gives it to the CCA, the website. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have. Yeah. Okay. The Centro Conhecimento dos Açores, CCA. Right?
Yes. So you pronounce it way better than I can.
Most of these records, okay, so when we go back prior to the 1900s, you know, so the 1800s, 1700s, 1600s, etc., most of these records were records kept by the church?
Almost entirely. There's almost nothing except that. So
okay.
There are some other records, like you can get property records and stuff like this, but these are very obscure and they're not online either. So you have to really be there to do that.
So these records from the churches are what? Baptisms, marriages, obituaries, things like that? Or?
Yeah, those three are the key things.
Okay. And so if someone in our listening audience, for example, is wanting to know a little bit more or quite a bit more, we have Justice here, Neves, who is our producer here of the Portuguese American Hour. When he first introduced himself to me when we began this journey here a few months ago, Justice says, my name is Justice Neves. And I said, hey, you know, that's the first time I've heard a Portuguese American pronounce it Neves, because most of them say Neves or Neves or whatever.
Oh.
And he knows the right pronunciation. And he said, yeah, well, I've been told that I'm Portuguese and doesn't know much about it. So if there are Portuguese Americans who are listening to the Portuguese American Hour, as many are, we hope and we know, how does one start? How does one begin if they know, hey, I've heard that maybe my grandfather came from the Azores, but I don't know much about that?
Well, usually you have to start with what you do know. And if all you know is your own date of birth, then you can get a document like that, and it'll identify your parents. And one document leads to the next. So if you know already when your parents married, or you heard that it was, but you never actually got that document, you might be surprised what that information will contain. But if you know for like your one of your parents when they were born, and if you know their names of their parents, so you know your grandparents, mm-hmm. you can jump straight to the whatever you do know, and you can just continue on back.
I see.
It's always recommended that you document everything, even the things that you think you know. Mm-hmm. Like, when were you yourself baptized? Well, you might not have a document on your own baptism, but it would be very interesting to see who were your godparents if you didn't know them or something like that. So if you just document everything on the way back, you can eventually get to the point where you will be able to find them in the American records, in the U.S. records, or Canada, in case you happen to be a listener in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can make the jump back over to the Azores or the mainland or Cabo Verde or whatever it might uh-huh. be. And so, you know, you have to go with what you know, and then you work your way back.
Okay. And let me ask you a question. With the, you know, nowadays it's kind of ethnicity is something that people like to talk about. It wasn't the case when I immigrated in 1968 with my parents. At the age of 10, we just basically, you know, we wanted to be American and we wanted to forget everything else, it seemed like. But it's a different world today, and that's great. How or what has things like, you know, these Ancestry.com, these DNA things, what yeah. have they contributed to genealogy?
Well, I have a personal difference with some of that.
Okay.
Like, most of the people are interested in the one, I like to call it just a regular DNA test. It's the one that Ancestry does. You personally did that family tree DNA test that I sent you a
Correct.
Couple of years back. And they all give you the ethnic percentages. There's another big right. company, 23andMe. And that's what people seem to like a lot. You also get a whole bunch of cousins. Usually at this time, I mean, in this year compared to 10 years ago when I first started doing this, you know, you're going to get probably over 1,000 people worldwide who are your DNA cousins. And you're not going to really know most of them. I mean, very few of them, really. Unless they happen to be really closely related, then you might recognize so-and-so as your cousin, or you found out that your aunt got tested, you didn't even realize it. You know, so that's one thing, people doing this regular type of test. But I'm actually interested in more of a more specialized type of test that looks at your direct paternal line, where this is only for males, where you look at your father, and then his father, and then his father, and you just stay on the father's side, never branching over to the mother. That's called Y-DNA test, because of the Y chromosome that you must have to do that type of test. We did that test on you, too, by the way. You might remember that, maybe not. But so there's, you know, start of some information that's there. You can do the same type of test. It's the direct maternal line, where it just stays on the mother going back. And this gives you your ancient origins, but it also gives you a connection to others more recently as the number of people grow doing this. Like, for instance, many times now I've made connections between people who have ancestry from, for instance, Tejeda and maybe Santa Maria or mm-hmm. Pico or something, and you can't connect on paper because it's beyond the records. Like, the connection might actually be in the 1500s, where it was a time that they were already in the Azores, but they had brothers that went their own ways and
right.
split off, and,
right.
and so now one established a family in one island and one in another island. And so this type of test is that it allows you to actually link these families back together, and in a way that just it was impossible to do without having a paper trail from the church. So there's always a limitation. Like, even though I'm very fortunate that my own paternal line can go back to the 1500s in San Bartolomeu in Tejeda, I would like to go further if I could. I would like to go to the mainland. Where did my family come from in the mainland before they arrived in Tuscada?
Right.
You know, and then, you know, so that's what I like this other type of test more. But and that's more, it's just, there's three facets of the DNA.
Correct.
Maternal line, paternal line, and the regular DNA that gets you all the branches of your tree. And all these things are enabling people to connect like never before to people from around the world, and sometimes between islands and your ancient origins.
That's right. We are speaking with Doug Hosha-Holmes, who is a genealogist from the Sacramento area and, of course, works with folks from all over, not just from that area, but all over California. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, about his work. This is the Portuguese American Hour. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour. We're now about to begin our second segment. Dinesh, back over
here. We are. We are back. And we are back with our invitee, Doug Hosha-Holmes, a genealogist from the Sacramento area. So, Doug, in the next few minutes, we have about 7 minutes left of this segment. So we were talking about, and it was a fascinating conversation because genealogy has always been something that's fascinated me, but I haven't, unfortunately, taken the time to do what I need to do. So folks can basically, there's... With today's technology, you can be, you know, pretty certain of being able to find, you know, some of your relatives and going back and tracing your roots.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's really nothing to do with the modern technology except the fact that you can do it at home, which is fantastic.
I see.
What you really need to be able to do is not only read the records, but properly interpret them, because there are many times when you run across something where you have two people who got married and they both have the same names. Like you might have got a Manuel Silveira, mm-hmm. and Maria de Jesus, and then you might have two couples by that name in the same town in roughly the same time period, and you're trying to figure out, well, which one's yours?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to properly interpret these things, but most of the time, it's funny how normally it is. A particular name combination is unique to mm-hmm. that time and a place. That there really aren't that many duplications, but it does happen. You have to be ready for it, but it doesn't happen as much as you might think.
Mm-hmm. And so, if folks who are listening to us and want to use your services, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, the easiest way is to send an email, mm-hmm. but if you're on Facebook, you can just type my name in and it'll pop up.
Okay.
By email, I use the email Tuscada, so you have to know how to spell that correctly. Tuscera, and then at D for Doug, Dholmes. So you get an email to me and I can help you, give you a quote, or maybe you just actually want some guideline and like, help. Where do I go? I can read all the records and stuff, and I just want to know where do I go. I can easily give you a link to the best places to get this information.
So just if they do social media like Facebook, just typing your name, Doug Hosha-Holmes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I have a public page.
Mm-hmm.
It's called It's called Genealogy and DNA by Doug Hosha-Holmes.
Okay.
And so that'll take you to that. I have groups for most of the islands that are, you know, people who are more interested in just San Miguel, that they can click there, or just Piku. It's amazing that lately on the Piku page, a lot of natives have been joining in, and they're posting their pictures and fantastic stuff that it's just like it's just a treat for people to see these images, like, from our history. It's fantastic.
Correct. And again, your email is Tercera, and Tercera at Dholmes.
Dholmes.
dholmes.com.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Doug, that's fascinating. Thank you so much. I know we just kind of got the tip of the iceberg, so hopefully you can promise me that in the next few weeks or so, 3 or 4 weeks, we could do this again and
you
focus
bet.
On some other things, focus on some things that having to do with particular islands and some
sure.
names that are particular to particular islands more than others. I think it'd be fascinating for our listening audience. I think they'd like that. I'm sure that they would because I've been asked about that as well. So if we could circle back here in about 3 or 4 weeks and do this again, that'd be great. I'd appreciate
that. That would be wonderful.
Okay. Again, thank you so much, Doug.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Doug Rocha-Holmes, a fascinating talk, I believe, for our listeners who are of Portuguese background. He's a genealogist specializing in the Azores, specializing in all of Portugal, not just the Azores, Portugal, Madeira, and the Azorean Islands, but he does a wonderful job with all of the groups that he hosts about the Azores. And if you'd like to get a hold of him directly again, that's Terceira, T-E-R-C-E-I-R-A at dholmes, dholmes.com. Or again, like you said, he's on social media. That's where I contact most of the time with Doug. Again, thank you, Doug. Thank you so much for being with us. And hopefully all of you enjoyed that conversation, because I think it's something that most people would like to know. As Doug mentioned, the Azores through the CCA, Centro Conhecimento dos Açores, has everything digitalized from the 1500s all the way up until the early parts of the 1900s. Like you said, 1910, 1905, 1911, depending on some of the islands and some of the municipalities. Genealogy is fascinating, so people can get in touch with their roots, and we'll keep on talking about this, and if next few weeks, again, we will bring Doug back for another enlightening conversation. We're going to take a musical break, and in about a few minutes, we'll have our second guest here on the Portuguese American Hour, and we are going to the island of São Miguel as far as music is concerned. We're concentrating again on the Azores as far as music. And this group called Cantos ao Luar, or Singing to and with the Moon. That's a very romantic way to sing. And Serenade. And the name of the song is called Caninha Verde, which is a very typical song from the island of São Miguel in the Azores. So we'll take another musical break with our musical invitees on this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. Remember, we are a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. Again, to mention that all of our public events, the PBBI events that we had planned for the months of April, we had five events planned for the month of April. We had one April 2nd. We had one April 25th. We had a genealogy workshop with a genealogist from the Azores, João Ventura, on April the 21st. We also had two literary events, one on April the 15th and one on April the 23rd, with two writers and academics coming from, two professors coming from Portugal. Obviously, they will not be coming. We have, as you all know, a 30-day suspension of all flights from the European Union to the United States. So all of these events, and an event with students in the first week of May, all of these events have been postponed. We will have them, obviously, and hopefully on the second semester. So let's take our musical break right now, and we'll be back. And when we come back, we'll have our second guest on this edition of the Portuguese American Hour here on Multicultural Radio. Let's listen to Caninha Verde, a typical song from the beautiful island of São Miguel in the archipelago of the Azores.
Preto e a preta, alegria plena, vai lá no fundão, jogando o Oscar.
And here we are with the Portuguese American Hour. That was a beautiful song from the island of São Miguel in the archipelago of the Azores. And the name is Caninha Verde, one of the typical songs from that beautiful island in the archipelago. Our musical invitees, Cantos ao Luar, and I should mention that all of this music you can check out at the Henry Madden Library as part of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute collection that was given to us by the president of the government of the Azores. And we are going to have our next guest, who is already on the line, coming to us from the east coast of the United States of America, from the great state of Rhode Island, Marie Fraley. Marie, welcome and good evening to you.
Well, good evening. Hi, Denise. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. This is a very special day. Tell us about it.
Well, today, of course, is March 12th, and it is the official start of the 2020 U.S. Census, where both the online self-response and the telephone self-response are now officially open.
And so, Marie Fraley, as many of you, of our listeners, might remember, we had Marie as a guest here quite a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, and we spoke about her role as leading in the Make Portuguese Count, a program. She is the national director for the Make Portuguese Count program for PALCAS, the Portuguese American Leadership Council of the United States, and we wanted to have Marie on today because it is a special day. It's the first day that we can go online and take the census and tell us a little bit. We are going to go to a break in a little bit, but we have about 5 minutes and then we will continue speaking with Marie Fraley. Tell us a little bit about the Make Portuguese Count and how that has been going for you and how it kind of changes now.
Well, of course, the Make Portuguese Count campaign for the 2020 census is extremely important for the Portuguese community. And those who haven't heard the background very briefly, the point is that in the last decennial census, and of course the census happens every 10 years by law, by constitution, no matter who is president, that in 2010, the last time they had a decennial census, Portuguese was not counted as an ethnic group. Mm-hmm. There was no code for Portuguese, so even anybody who checked off some other race and wrote Portuguese, we were not counted as Portuguese, we were counted as white. And this leaves our hands tied as a community without data. There is literally no data for how many Portuguese there are in the country or where they are for 2010. Mm-hmm. But this time, having met with the head of the chief of ancestry and ethnicity in Washington, D.C., a U.S. Census headquarters. We've not only been assured, but we've seen the code numbers for Portuguese so that we know that this time that when people write Portuguese, and there is a special question this time, a format that allows us to first check off as many races as applies to you, white, black, American Indian, Alaskan Native, Asian, Pacific Islander, or some other race, mm-hmm. and write your origins, your ancestry, your ethnicity under any of those races, and they will be counted. So this is our opportunity to write Portuguese, and we will be counted as Portuguese this time to give us the data that we very much need for anything that we are trying to accomplish as a community. You know, and most very importantly is, Portuguese language programs in our public schools, and such programs as Start Talk, be able to show that, yes, we do have the interest not only in Portuguese as a global language, but also for its heritage speakers as well. So far, it's going pretty well. We've been working at this for 18 months. We have 76 captains across the country, from Hawaii to Massachusetts, from Washington State down to Florida, working as the trusted voices in their communities where people know and trust them, and they are able to reach out to their groups. And they're working with 233 organizations, civic, social, faith-based, and academic, who have actually registered with us to help us spread the word to their networks and to their members and families and friends, because getting the multiplier effect with this campaign is what we think will make it work.
Fantastic. And we're going to continue talking to you, Marie, if you can just hang on for about a quick minute. We need to take a very quick one-minute break, but we'll be right back. We are speaking with Marie Fraley, who is the National Director for the Make Portuguese Count, MPC, a product of the PALCAS, Portuguese American Leadership Council of the United States. Marie is speaking to us from the state of Rhode Island, and we'll continue this fascinating conversation and talk a little bit more in detail about, now that the census is out, what you can do. And as she explained a little bit of it, we'll talk a little bit more in detail in just about 60 seconds. So we'll be right back with our third and final segment of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And we are back with our third and final segment, and on the line, our guest that we have been speaking with for the last few minutes, Marie Fraley, who is National Director for the Make Portuguese Count for the Portuguese American Leadership Council of the United States, PALCAS, a national organization. And Marie, we mentioned a little bit, as you said, about today being the first day, official day of the census, and how the Portuguese haven't been counted. You spoke a little bit about, obviously, the importance of that. Tell us a little bit, as you explained, in a little bit more detail, if you will, the way that folks can choose whatever, obviously, race they are or they feel they're part of, and then they can write, but they don't have to write just one ethnicity. So if many of our listeners are part Portuguese, part Mexican, part other ethnicities, part Portuguese, part Norwegian, etc. So can you write various ethnicities on there?
Oh, absolutely. And this is one thing that I definitely want to emphasize. Because in some of our printed material, for example, we do have an example of a person who identifies as white and is 100% Portuguese. Mm-hmm. That example is me, mm-hmm. But not everybody is like me. But it was simply a way to show an example of how to fill out the form. But in truth, that question is completely self-identification.
Okay.
And that means is whatever you feel you are, whatever feels comfortable to you, and you can check off as many races as you identify with. There are many people who are biracial and multiracial these days. You can check off white, black, Asian, you know, however many you are. And you can write up to 6 ancestries or ethnicities on that form under any race at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for example, I'd love to use my husband as an example because he can identify 6 ancestries.
Wow.
And so even before he did his DNA, we knew that there was German, there was Scots Irish, there was English in his background, but then he did his D DNA, and he found out that he's 46% Norwegian, and he's 19% Portuguese.
Oh, I love that one. We knew that. We knew that.
And I've been with the man for 50 years, and I never would have guessed. But we just did ours online just before, you know, I called in to you.
Uh-huh.
And we did it online. And for his section, and there's one section for every person living in your household, that field on the online form will accommodate up to 200 characters.
Wow.
As you're typing it in. So we fit all six of his in there with no problem whatsoever.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, again, you know, it's however you identify, you can put it all in there. It's up to you. And you need no documentation. You don't have to do your DNA. It's not your passport. And nobody is going to see this or check it because it's private and secure.
Correct. And I'm thinking about the community that we have in Northern California. We have some listeners who listen to us in Northern California, especially online and through radio apps, who are, I know they identify, because I know quite a few of them, as Asian, but they were either born or their parents or their grandparents in Macau, and they still identify as being Portuguese. So they can do that, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, because look at our history. We have, when you look back at the navigators, the Portuguese navigators who traveled all over the world, you can be Asian and Portuguese from Macau. You can be African and of black race and be Luso African and identify as Portuguese. I mean, so it's irrelevant, and it's whatever you think you are. And it's actually an argument that I've had with the Census Bureau about the fact that we can be of any race. Mm-hmm. And still be Portuguese.
Correct, yeah. One other thing, so I know that your work has been tremendous. You've traveled quite a bit from California to Florida and done a lot of work and worked with the captains, the organizations, and everything else. But now that the census has begun, what do you think should be our main focus, those of us who are either captains or those of us who are in Portuguese-American organizations and want to have a voice and help PALCAS and help to make Portuguese count?
Well, this is the phase of the campaign that we are calling Get Out the Count. Just the way you have, you know, an election campaign and you say get out the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's get out the count. And if today's social media feedback is any indication, people seem to be enthusiastic and embracing it, and they're saying, yes, I did it today, and I'm from Fall River, Massachusetts. You know, so they were weighing in where they're from and the fact that they did it. But don't let it stop there. Don't let it stop with you. Talk to everybody you know and encourage them. Say to them, did you do it? You know, I did my 2020 census. I did it online, and it was quick, and it was easy, and it really is. It'll only take you about 10 minutes. It's not cumbersome at all. It doesn't ask you any financial information. But take it a step further and be that multiplier effect and say to all your family and friends, I did it, did you? And please remember to write Portuguese. Don't forget to write Portuguese. So that's what's going to really help move it, because I completely understand that not everybody is on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's
mm-hmm.
on Facebook.
That's right.
And with that in mind, Catherine Swatch has done a marvelous job. She's our vice chair and also a captain, but her expertise is in media, and she has worked with João Francisco of Lunia Branding and Consulting, and produced some fantastic public service announcements and some, you know, fantastic spots that you're going to see all over the place now. You're gonna see it on international networks, and in addition to these kinds of radio interviews like I'm doing now with you. And there are many Portuguese language radio stations that have stepped up and are doing ads for us. So you're going to hear the media blitz come through very strong now in the next few weeks. But just because it has started doesn't mean we're done. We have to keep at it.
Correct. And I think that's exactly what you're saying, and we'd like to have you back here in about a month or so if you are willing to do it, because I think there are many of our listeners, of course we have different listeners at different days, who are of Portuguese-American background. And I was just, when we were doing the conversation with the genealogist Doug the Rocha Holmes about our own producer here, Justice Neves, who is of Portuguese background, and who is Portuguese background through his father's side, you know, but has also you're not just Portuguese, you have different ethnicities, correct?
Mexican and Irish are the two main ones.
Okay,
I know.
So Portuguese, Mexican, and Irish. And I think that we have a lot of folks that we'd like, that's why we need to have you back as well, because there is, of course, the traditional quote-unquote Portuguese, as you claimed on the example, you know, and as myself as well, you know, 100% Portuguese. But there are folks who, there's lots and lots of people, especially in California, who are of 2, 3, and even 4 different ethnicities. So hopefully we can have you back, Marie, to talk about that, to reach these second and third generations and fourth and even fifth generations, which are very, very important to have them, even for just a 10th Portuguese or 19% like Dave.
Yes, exactly. And there are two other groups I really need to emphasize right now. And one is students living in dormitory.
Yes.
Because the census goes by where you live.
Mm-hmm.
So the students need to self-respond for themselves. And for students, it's a piece of cake. They can do this, you know, with their eyes closed. But they need to know to do it, to go on to my2020census.gov. They can put in, they don't have to have the code. They can say, I do not have a code, and put in the address of their dormitory, and then finish, you know, complete the form, and be sure to type in Portuguese and any other ancestry they are. That's one group. So we've got to tell the students to do this. Otherwise, they won't be captured. Number two are people, other people living in, they call these group quarters, dormitories, nursing homes, assisted living.
Mm-hmm.
The elderly who are living in assisted living and nursing homes, we're asking their families to go in and with them, bring your tablet, bring your iPhone, your mobile phone. You can do this on your phone just as easily, and also self-respond for them too. Otherwise, they will not be captured as Portuguese either. So that's two very important groups that need to self-respond.
Correct. And so, and one quick thing also on this, Marie, is when you count, when you do it in your household, you need to do it for yourself, your spouse, and anyone who's under 18, correct?
Everybody
who lives in your household. But obviously kids who are 16, 14 are not going to do it. So you have to include, of course, your underage children, right?
Absolutely. And okay, for some reason, children under the age of 5 have traditionally been the most undercounted.
Interesting.
So even if you have a baby born that day,
mm-hmm,
you fill out a section for them as well, because this becomes a problem then for planning for school districts. If all of a sudden, you know, you open kindergarten and you've got a bunch of 5-year-olds showing up that you didn't know where they came from, because municipalities depend on census data to plan.
Correct. Well, thank you, Marie. We're just about out of time. I thank you so much for taking time, and hopefully in the next 30 days or so, if your schedule allows it, we can visit again and talk a little bit more, because I think, it, as you mentioned, it does have to be a continuum now until when does the Census Bureau, when is the time period over, by the way?
Officially, it will end July 31st.
Okay.
And, of course, what will happen, though, if people have not self-responded,
mm-hmm,
Either by phone, online, or by a paper form, which, you know, will come if you don't do it online or on phone.
Right.
Then people will, the census takers will come knocking on your door.
Right.
So self-respond and do it so that you don't need somebody knocking on your door. And especially with the coronavirus being such an issue, you know, it's easier to self-respond and do it yourself.
Fantastic. And again, would you mind giving just the website one more time for those people listening?
It's my 2020 census, CENSUS.gov.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, thank you so much, Marie Fraley, National Director for the Make Portuguese Count campaign, national campaign for PALCAS, the Portuguese American Leadership Council of the United States. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us, Marie, all the way from Rhode Island. My best to you and to Dave. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. That was Marie Fraley, who, as I mentioned, is the National Director for the Make Portuguese Count, a very important campaign that kicks off today. The census kicks off today, March 12th. And as Marie mentioned, it continues until the 31st of July. After that, if they don't hear from you, they're going to go knocking on that address to see who you are and how many people in your house. So nowadays, most of our listeners know how to use that. So go ahead and do that online or wait until you get the paper, but do it online or by the phone. That's obviously the best way. And as Marie mentioned, with the coronavirus, with everything that's going on, sometimes the less people you see, the best. So why not do it online or over the phone and not have to worry about someone knocking on your door if you're going to go on vacation? I think the springtime is the best time to do the census.
Yeah, and this will be the first time I get to actually fill it out myself.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm actually very excited about that, and I'm excited to be able to put Portuguese on.
Oh, we're excited to have you put Portuguese. Yes, Portuguese, Mexican, Irish, at least those three.
Yeah.
Okay, and again, so that is Marie Fraley. Thank you, Marie, and thank you, Doug Rocha Holmes, for being our two most awesome guests on this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. We're just about out of time. I wanted to make a couple of more announcements again, and that is for those of you who had bought tickets for the Society of Portuguese American Students breakfast, their traditional country breakfast that is done at the Tulare Union High School cafeteria. That event has been postponed due obviously to what is going on with the coronavirus. So this Sunday, that event has been postponed. Get a hold, of course, of the students who sold you the tickets or the teachers, and they're planning on having the events either later on in April or May. So that event has been postponed. There are a few other postponements of other events throughout the Portuguese-American community because of the coronavirus, so check with your local organization. I think there are many events, especially in the next 3 weeks, will be canceled or postponed. And all of our events with the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute that were scheduled for the month of April, the April 2nd event, the literary events April 15th and April 23rd, the genealogy workshop on April the 21st, and the symposium all day or all morning on the Saturday the 25th from 9 until 1 p.m. All of those have been postponed until the next semester. And also some of our events for May, we'll be talking about that as well, but more than likely they will be postponed as well. So we will kick up all of the public events of Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute, PBBI at Fresno State, starting with the fall semester starting in August and mid-August. So thank you all for joining us. Thank you for being part of the Portuguese American Hour. Thank you, Justice, for producing and for your co-hosting and for all your help. And again, we thank all of you for being part of this daily experience in the Portuguese American world. The Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. We thank you for joining us. We ask you to please tell your family and friends to join us on KGST AM 1600 or anywhere in the States, the U.S., or throughout the world on www.multicultural1600am.com. Please take care. Please be safe. Please stay healthy. And we'll see you on the next edition of the Portuguese American Hour.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Este fue un programa pagado y solo refleja la opinión de sus anunciantes. Ahora continúa disfrutando de la programación de 1600 AM.